You see, the department is here. That is my name, I'm sorry. But being the case as it may, welcome to this meeting today. This is more like a continuation of the meeting, the previous week, which we couldn't exhaust. But also we know that at the time we're dealing with all these issues, there were questions that were asked, and we had to give more time to the department to go and rework on the submission, but also with specific reference to the issues that were raised, in particular some that were coming from the speaker's office. Having said so, are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chair and members and our guests. I don't have any apology from my side. Thank you. I believe Ari doesn't have also, Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Department, any apologies?
Greetings, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I do have an apology from the Honorable Minister, Chair.
Okay.
In a cabinet committee this morning.
Okay. Having said so, I want us to have enough and sufficient time. If we finish early, that will be a blessing in disguise. Having said so, can we then go straight to the department to then present their reworked and responses to the questions that were made? DJ, I hope today you are the one who's leading the delegation.
That's correct, Honorable Chair. Greetings to yourself, Chair. Greetings to the honorable members of the PPC and also the DDGs and chief directors that are in the meeting, the support staff to Parliament, as well as the ministry, and also our media that is in attendance. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, as you have directed us, together with honorable members, that we must go back and rework the presentation, and also to reply to those critical questions that you know, we had responded to, especially from the line function branch, which is the minerals, you know, regulation and petroleum. Now we have done that, Chair. We have a full team, as you have indicated that we seem to be many today, and so we will take members through the presentations, because we have one presentation, but it is divided into two. Is the minerals one as well as the petroleum presentation. Then at the end, we will deal with the issue of the letters that were written to the office of the speaker in terms of where we are in responding to those letters. I must highlight this point, Chair, before I hand over to Ms. Stella and the team. But we are dealing with issues that are historical, but we understand, I mean, self as the accounting officer, I can't come here and allege that these are historical issues, then I can't do anything about them together with the team. But it is important also to indicate that Chair, we have made it very clear, even in our ESCO meetings, that the issue of consequence management, and so it is no longer going to be just a theory that we talk about it without implementing. Now, if you look at issues pertaining to backlog, yes, there might have been some issues that are beyond the officials, but if you quantify what work that has been done, especially with Mpumalanga Regional Office. See there that the regional manager, together with the officials in that office, they're not doing their job. And so we can't come here and defend officials that are not doing their job or that fail to do what they have been appointed to do. In fact, one can say they have defrauded the taxpayers in so doing. And so from the side of the department, we have to be very decisive in taking the necessary measures. And so that is a disclaimer that I thought I should make, in as much as we understand that we have to take a full responsibility and accountability of whatever that happened and make sure that we come up with the necessary measures to address those challenges. Honorable Chair and honorable members, with your indulgence, I would like to invite DDG Makubela, together with his chief director, to take us through the two presentations. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning to the Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DDGs that are here, my colleagues, Chief Directors, members of the public, members of the media in attendance. Chairperson, we will, as DG has indicated, we'll do the presentation in two sessions. The first one is on petroleum, and the Chief Director, who is Mr. Stosa, will lead that presentation. And then the one on mineral regulation will be done by Chief Director Kobe. As the members will recall, there was a need for more detail there in that presentation on the processes that we follow and the timelines linked to that. But also then on the petroleum one, the main issue that we would want to focus on, because we don't have as much a challenge in terms of backlog as we have on the mineral side, is the whole issue of transformation. And we believe that we've done enough to unearth some of the data that will begin to indicate the challenge specifically that we have on the retail sector. And I think Mr. Stosa will then zoom in on that, but of course he will talk to the other issues that were raised as well. With that, Chair, I'm going to request that Ms. Guerrero flights the presentation, and then Mr. Stosa will take over. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, DDG. Good morning, DDGs. Good morning, honorable members. Please, Ms. Guerrero, can we have the slide flighted? I can't see it.
The slide is on.
On.
Sir, yes, it is on the screen. Maybe on. Check your system.
From my side on my phone, it doesn't appear. It appeared when she started. Can we look at the changes, please?
Can you see it now?
Yes, I can. Thanks very much. I'll start with the first slide, which says response to questions of portfolio committee meeting held on 24 February 2021. Next slide, please, ma'am. In the second slide, you are talking about what are the challenges that we have regarding the petroleum product analysis system, which was not designed to capture applicants in terms of race and gender. The system has an HHDSA calculation screen that records applicants' name, surname, percentage of ownership and control. And an analyst manually records percentages into editable columns designed to for DSA, HDSA, and other, meaning white male. And the system would automatically determine the HDSA percentage to indicate the charter compliance. And where the HDSA percentage is below the 25% threshold, the application is refused. Chair, here we are trying to indicate that there are certain limitations that the system has, but it was designed in view of the regulations of the Petroleum Products Amendment Act number 58 of 2003, which define the description of a HDSA in terms of the charter. Thus, the question was always addressed along the HDSA, but we have taken heed of the fact that we need to move to break down of the HDSA in terms of the gender and the race, which we are working on. The next slide, please. In the next slide, which we talk of the breakdown of HDSA per province, this is just to show that in terms of manufacturing, over the years, which is from 2012 to 2020, the first digit depicts just whether an HDSA is participating in this space. And the second digit, that division, the backslash and the division and the digit, that represents the number of a non-HDSA that are participating in the manufacturing sector. Now, where the other provinces are zeros, it means nothing has happened. But if we go to Eastern Cape, we have one manufacturing site, which is not an HDSA compliant. And then we go to Gauteng, we've got four, which are HDSA participants, versus the five, which are the total number of manufacturing in the area. So that's why the 80% percentage was achieved. It is a 5 divided by 4 divided by 5 by 100. And then in KwaZulu-Natal, we have one non-HDSA manufacturing, and in Limpopo, we've got one, and the rest, nothing. Please, next slide, please, Mrs. Direro. In the following slide, we are providing the breakdown, the same sequence, where the first digit, two digits or three digits, depicts the HDSA percentage. That means people who comply with the HDSA versus the number that we have captured, which are not are inclusive of that HDSA. Does the percentage go to? There's a background noise there, the chair. But let me continue. We are showing that in the Eastern Cape, we have achieved 89.53. In Free State, we achieved 81.58. In Gauteng, which is quite a major area where we have a lot of participants in terms of the wholesale licenses, we have achieved 91.3. And I take it for the rest will follow the same sequence. Next slide, please. Where this slide speaks of the retailers. These are the new retailers that we have licensed since 2012 to 2020. Totally new. That means new construction of new retail sites in the whole of South Africa. The Eastern Cape shows that we had 21, which are SDSA compliant, versus total of 122, and they attained 75.59%. In Free State, the same, 71.43. In Gauteng, which is the biggest province, one can see that there's a lot of activity taking place, of which we have captured 317 versus the 392 that made Gauteng province to have attained 80.87. And KZN, because of its dynamics of the demographics, one would see the KZN surpassing the percentage of KwaZulu-Natal, being a lot of our compatriots are compliant and mostly are from the Indian community. That's why we have the 171 SDSA compliant versus 185. The other provinces, Limpopo, it's 84.56 percentage attained. Mpumalanga is growing, but it's still at a slower level compared to Gauteng and KZN. But we are really growing there at 90%. Northwest is quite small, and Northern Cape very small. And Western Cape also, we are seeing a phenomenal growth in terms of the SDSA retailers coming into space at a percentage of 73.56. Next slide, please. Here we are talking of the limitation that I've already alluded to in terms of the design of our system. That the categorization of Black Africans, Black Indian, Black Colored will require that we go through each of the files manually, and the department will require some time to undertake the exercise. This we take heed from the advice that we have provided in the last portfolio committee, that we should look at really drilling down in terms of the gender and the race. This is something that we are going to definitely produce in the future. However, we have done an audit, which was conducted by Moloto Solution in 2018, just to provide the committee a feel of what is really the picture out there. Then let's go to the next slide of this audit. The first column, which is the sub-race, this has been broken down in terms of the race. This is what we want to achieve eventually. And we are showing that the EAP is economically active persons in terms of the demographics. One can see that the Africans are in majority, followed by the colors, the Indians, and the whites. So if we go to the total industry size, Africans only own 14% thereof, colors 3, Indians 26, which is, you know, a good growth in terms of from the Indian counterparts. And then the AIC, which is African colored and Indians, are now having only 43% size, and the rest are whites. So let me take you to the third column, because the second column simply reflects what is happening in terms of volume. So you can only have the size will reflect what you actually produce or you sell in a volume. So in the fourth column, the fifth column, where we depict the dealer owned, the word RORO simply means a retailer owned and retailer operated. So these are the sites which are actually owned by the operators in terms of the owner site and the retail from the site. So we can see that Africans have attained 12% thereof. Colors are still at 3%. Indians are at 22%, and the total thereof makes 37 versus 63, which is owned by whites. And if we go to the last column, which is company owned, these are the sites which are owned by the oil majors, but they lease them out to the retailers to operate from them. So we are seeing a bit of a growth there for Africans coming into play, because quite a number of the oil companies have embarked on transformation processes. So there'll be a lot coming here that will show us that historically, in particular, Africans are starting to participate in the industry. We are now at 16% at the time of 2018. Surely these figures would have improved over the time. And the colors remain 3%. Indians are showing a growth at 29%. Indians are very active in the industry. Every company has a lot of our Indian counterparts taking place. Now, the growth from 43, we are now at 48%. And one can see that there's a slight decline in terms of the size owned by whites at 52%. And the big three females, I need to just explain that the black females are still in terms of the total definition of black, which would have included the African, colored, and Indians. So this is something that we'll also look into in the future to break it further down to show Africans in particular, colors, and Indians, but there are females starting to participate in the industry, although at a very low figure of 7%. Next slide, please. The breakdown of license category per province, in terms of conversion for manufacturing, we're just showing that at the time when we started regulating the industry and all the people who were participating before the act came into effect, here, there's no definition of who is a SDSA. It's just the number of how many manufacturing sites we had at the time of commencement of the act, which shows where we have zeros, that means there's nothing that was manufacturing in a particular province. And those figures technically just speak for themselves. And then with the new to industry, here we are showing that since the inception of the act, there have been a phenomenal growth in terms of people coming into the manufacturing space. And these are persons who are not necessarily in the refinery activity, but are people who are converting, in simple languages, tires into fuel, heavy fuel. Some are producing plastic into petroleum products. Some are doing mixing. I'm not necessarily mixing, producing other types of materials into, diesel. Next slide, please. The same with the next slide, which is the wholesale. We are showing the number of wholesalers that were at the time of inception at conversion. But one needs to speak on the growth that we're experiencing and the questions why we are seeing that in terms of Gauteng. We started with only 74 wholesalers. Now we are sitting at 1,721. The reason being that a lot of people seeing opportunities in the other economic activities such as mining, transportation, government institutions, Transnet, and ESCOM. So there's a growth, a phenomenal growth in terms of the wholesale.
And the other reasons are that, to be quite frank, wholesale is a very, the cheapest side, I mean, application one can ever lodge with the department. It doesn't require an upfront investment. So that's why a lot of people are going into this, but there are some who are battling to find the market, but some are very successful. Next slide, please. In the next slide, please. Under the site and retail, we are showing at the time of the conversion, the highest participating area of petroleum sites were in Gauteng at 1,276. But what has developed over the years, in Gauteng in particular, we have 196 sites that have developed, and the numbers under the new industry are in respect of total developments in an area, in each province. One can see that, provinces which were very low at the time in terms of economic activities are starting to see new sites coming into construction, which is, for instance, Eastern Cape has experienced 64, which is a very phenomenal growth. I'll go to Northern Cape, which is very small in terms of the numbers, but the growth there has shown that there are a lot of people coming into the retail space. The Northwest has also experienced a phenomenal growth in terms because of the mining. A lot of applications coming from the north, northwest are in respect of the sites developed near the mining villages. So we have a lot of rural sites which are very extremely profitable. The same applies to other, rural provinces. But one can see a lot of development. Let's look at Limpopo for an example. Because of the economic activities that has taken place in Limpopo in respect of the mining, thus we are seeing a lot of growth in the new industry of people setting their businesses to supply the motoring community of the workers in the area. Next slide, please. Here we're talking, addressing the issue of licenses withdrawn. Licenses are withdrawn just for a lot of reasons. Some are where a person has lost interest in pursuing their economic ambition in a particular area. Some are as a result of people going out totally, leaving the industry, getting into other types of industries. So these are just, showing how many licenses have been withdrawn. So that simply means people who have moved out of, and some they withdraw, and then they sell, they're on sale to other people to participate, which shows that they will have a lot of what we call a change of hands. That means a person has moved out, I withdraw my license, I hand it over to the department, and then somebody can apply on the same site to carry on with the retailing activities. And I thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe if I may just conclude on this one with your permission, Chair. What we've shown here, Chair, is that effectively, if you break down the benefits of transformation in the sector, the biggest beneficiaries of transformation efforts in the petroleum retail sector have been our Indian compatriots. And that is the reality. when we commissioned the audit in 2018, effectively, this was a deliberate effort on our side to say, how far have we gone since 2010? There has been movement in terms of the numbers that are being reported. However, the documents that come to us, we were not seeing a number of a lot of Africans as well as colored, but also we're not seeing women at all. And we used then the results of that audit to engage with the oil company to say that as much as you have, you're claiming transformation, which we can see, but it is skewed in terms of the black population. It is skewed towards one sector of, you know, the AIC category of black. And we then have said to them, you need to do something about one, women in particular, but also then you have to do something about Africans and colors in particular. And we are seeing commitment from their side to basically move towards a reflection, numbers that reflect the economically active population. They have all committed to a five-year plan, and we are monitoring that now. Some are doing better than others. But Chair, on this petroleum one, that's exactly what we wanted to bring as much as our response to the questions that were asked by the committee last week. Chair, with your permission, we would move to the mineral regulation presentation, which will be done by Ms. Kove. With your permission, Chair. Thank you.
You may proceed, Chief Director.
Thank you, Chairperson, DG, honorable members and colleagues. This is a follow-up presentation from the meeting of last week. From the mineral side, we will be unpacking the application process, the status of applications in a backlog, and we'll also deal with the interventions that are being put in place to address the backlog. Next slide. The legislation and regulations applicable within the mineral sector and the regulation thereof, being the MPRDA, the NEMA Act, together with the regulations, the mineral petroleum, the Mining Titles Registration Act, as read with the regulations and its amendment. Also, the mining charter is also applicable when regulating and administering licenses within the branch. Next slide. So this is the map that was flagged in our previous presentation and was clearly outlined. We indicated you will see the colors, they will talk to the mineralization or the geology in our fields. So I think the honorable members and colleagues will have gone through this in our previous presentation. The next slide. So in this slide, we depicted prevalent applications that we normally receive and that we deal with on a daily basis. Your prospecting rights, your mining permits, renewals, amendments in terms of Section 102, the Section 11 applications, and the borrowings. So coming to the application process, we unpacking how do we deal with applications once they reach our system. All applications, including the prospecting rights, mining permits, are received by various regional offices through the online system, being our SAMRAND. And applications are lodged in such a way that there's an MPRDA application, there's also a NEMA application for environmental authorization. So the two applications are lodged simultaneously. When we say the application is complete, it's when it has the NEMA and the MPRDA applications. So they are lodged for various categories of applications. It could be the mining right, it could be the PR, prospecting right, or the mining permit. Then once the applications are received, internally, our super users, the ones who administer the SAMRAD system, assisted by registry, they will download the application, print the application, and prepare it for filing. Once that is done, the SAMRAD system, and we call them mineral information management, at the level of assistant director. They will go through the application, do special verification and analysis, compile a report. Normally, what they do, they will check the polygons on the system. Are they accurate? Are there no other applications on the system that are pending on the same area, and maybe for the same mineral? Or maybe they are rights that have already been granted. Then they will compile a report to that effect. That will assist mineral law officers in terms of processing the application further, for whether to take a decision to grant, to accept or to reject the application. Okay, next slide, please. So when the application reaches the mineral law officer, he will or she will check, like I have already indicated, whether there are no pending applications, there are no rights granted on the area, and the application in itself is complete, then they will prepare what we call a record of decision. And in case the record of decision is for acceptance, they will also put together an acceptance letter. Also, the notice that we normally call upon affected parties and call upon them or inform them that the application has been received and accepted. But in case the recommendation or the record of decision is for rejection, then they will prepare a rejection letter, which is mainly a recommendation to the regional manager to say, we've assessed the application and we recommend that this decision be taken. then regional manager will go through the recommendation, and if he is or she is in agreement, she will sign off the recommendation now into a decision. So if the decision is to reject, or if the decision is to accept, then the regional manager will do so by signing off and make sure that the decision is communicated out to the applicant. It will be communicated through a registered mail. We will follow that by a fax and or an email if it's provided. Then we will affix the section 10 notice to the notice board within the regional office, and also cause the notice to be affixed in the magistrate's office with jurisdiction of the land in question. So we normally fax that to the magistrate office and request them to affix on a notice board. Then in some instances, we will send to also to the tribal offices, the clinics, where the public will normally be able to view those notices. Next slide. Thank you. I've already indicated that the Section 10 notice makes it known to the public that an application has been accepted and calls upon interested and affected parties to submit their comments or objections to the regional manager for consideration, and that this notice will be valid for a period of 30 days if in case 30 days from the date of acceptance. But if the application is rejected, I think there's a typo, then the rejection letter will be sent out to the applicant the same way with the acceptance letter, through a registered mail and a fax or an email. And then the regional office will proceed to close the file. So the above process is the initial process of the application. It's supposed to take place within a period of 14 days. And once that has been done, we will normally communicate internally with other sectional heads. More especially, the first part was only dealt with by the regional manager registry and the MLA, the mineral law section. So once that has been done, then other sections will normally get involved if the regional manager decided to accept the application. So we will make it known to the relevant section that now that we've accepted, then the process of evaluation should proceed further. More so that the NEMA application, the timeline will kickstart upon the regional manager's decision to accept the application. And if it's a mining right, the social and labor plan section is expected to commence with the evaluation of the plans that are submitted. Mine economics also will be expected to commence with the evaluation together with the mine health and safety. Next slide. Various subdirectorates are also afforded 30 days to do the initial adjudication of the application. And like I've already indicated, NEMA processes will commence upon the decision of the regional manager to accept the application. And the various sections will follow the timelines as prescribed in the NEMA regulation and in the Act itself. So applicants through NEMA, they will be now directed to conduct scoping, submit the basic assessment report or the EIA, depending on the nature of the application. And if the application is for prospecting or a mining permit, the process of conducting and submitting the NEMA basic assessment report, it's allowed to take a period of 247 days. And in case of a mining right, the process can take 350 days. Next slide. So, can we go back to the last slide? So on the next slide, colleague. No. You are jumping all over the slides. I think, can we go back? All right, thank you. On the NEMA processes, these days are also subject to objections. Also subject to the extensions that may be requested by the applicant. So they may also be interrupted by such process requirements. So next slide, colleague. So in case of an applicant who is a non-HDSA entity or a natural person and is applying for a mining or a prospecting right, mineral officers may invoke the provision of Section 2D and request information from the applicant in as far as the requirements of BEE are concerned, and how will the applicant advance the provisions of the law and transformation. So all the sections are afforded opportunity to process the application and compile ROD record of decision. And once that is done, it's submitted to the mineral law section for further evaluation and compilation of the submission with the recommendation to the decision maker. Then the regional manager will review the submission and the recommendation. And if he is in agreement, he will sign off the recommendation and route the submission to a head office for decision. Next slide, colleague. So submissions are routed with recommendation to head office for finalization and licensing. And like we've indicated, when the application is a mining permit, normally these applications will be finalized by the regional manager as the delegated authority. The regional manager will finalize the application at the regional level. And when application reaches head office, they've got a period of 30 days to be decided upon. and be finalized. When applications are finalized, the communication will be sent back to the regional manager by fax, and also to the applicant by fax, and submissions will be packed and sent back to the regional manager. So what normally happens when the regional manager receives the submissions back to the regional, back in the regional office, they will also communicate the decision to the applicant again, and also communicate a date for execution in case the decision was to grant the application. So applicants are directed to submit documents in preparation for execution of the right. Next slide. So this is what is normally required in preparation for execution, and the region will wait to receive this information from the applicant. Once that is received, we'll go through the documents, still conduct verification for correctness of the documents, and if everything is in order, the contract will be prepared. And normally the contract is between the department and the applicant, and hence the contract will be reviewed by the notary public, who is normally appointed by the applicant for the purposes of preparing for execution and the notarial execution thereof. So on the date of execution, the regional manager, and who is delegated through a power of attorney, and the right holder, they will both appear before the notary public with witnesses at the same time to sign off the right. And once that is done, the right is signed. There's a fee that is payable with the department for 50 rand, which is a requirement for recording or registering the right with mining titles. Next slide. So normally the notary will take the documents along with him for lodgement with the mining titles for registration. And once that is done, the registration is done, the region will get a copy together with the client for safekeeping. And normally the notary will keep a document for his protocol. So in case the application is refused, we will have communicated the decision. Can we go to the next slide? If it's refused, the same process of communicating the decision to the client is also followed, and the regional manager will close the file. So in case the applicant is aggrieved with the decision made, there is a process wherein the applicant is afforded an opportunity to appeal. The appeal could be internally, and could be a review upon the exhaustion of all the internal remedies, which is the internal appeal. Next slide. So this is in summary of the prospecting, the application time frame, which is the initial 14 days, and then we allow the process of NEMA requirement. Everything else needs to be done and finalized, and in most cases we will wait for the NEMA processes to unfold. Next slide. deal with the applications per province, which are on the system. And we were requested, this was presented in our previous session, and we were requested to unpack the applications in terms of backlog and further unpack the backlog in terms of the stages at which various applications are in the system. So these are the statistics of applications that are in our system that still are pending finalization. Some of them are pending finalization, not all of them. There are those that are finalized in the sense that they are rejected. Those that are finalized in terms of they are granted and others are refused. So we will zoom more into applications that are in a backlog. Can you go to the next slide? So these are the statistics of applications that are in a backlog. They were presented in our previous sitting, and as you can see, we do have a challenge mainly in Mpumalanga, and a challenge in other regions, but not as in as the position in Mpumalanga. So can we move to the next slide? So we unpacked the applications in the sense of which applications are in the system, are accepted, and are under evaluation. So these are the statistics of applications that have been accepted on the system and are currently now in the process of being evaluated. So we will zoom into the mining rights. You can see these are the statistics, and we've got high volumes in Mpumalanga. We also have high volumes in Mpumalanga for prospecting right. It's Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, and Limpopo. Same with mining permits. We have high volumes in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and to some extent, Northwest region. So all these applications are accepted and are under evaluation. Next slide. So the next slide is on applications that are received, have not been decided on, and are outside the 14 days period as outlined in the first slide, that will be the initial stage when we receive applications. So even on this one, we do have some of regions that are not having that challenge. They have accepted or they have decided on all their applications that they have received, and some of them are in the process of finalizing those applications in terms of taking the decision. So the challenge that we are seeing is still in some of the bigger regions, which is Limpopo and Mpumalanga. We still have a lot of applications not decided, especially on the prospecting right, also on the mining permit side. Next slide. So without trying to defend, and we believe that there's nothing to defend, we need to come up with a plan and make sure that we revert back to the basics. What we did as an intervention, or the interventions that we are putting in place, is that we really need to eradicate these applications that are in a backlog. And currently there's a team that is being led by the branch head, which is finalizing the turnaround strategy, especially for Mpumalanga region. And as indicated, there are regions that they do have a backlog, and the backlog, we consider it as manageable. They will proceed in dealing with the plans that are already in place, and what is required maybe is just to augment those plans to ensure that we respond speedily in eradicating backlog in those regional offices. One other aspect, we will also fast track the reskilling of personnel from DOA and Department of the former Department of Energy, which now this personnel is within the bigger department of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. And we will also encourage multi-skilling, because some officials may be appointed for this position, but they have qualifications that is relevant, especially our GIS officials. Most of our mine environment officials, they've also done GIS. So we will encourage multi-skilling so that we are able to respond adequately to the demand. So we are finalizing the recruitment processes in terms of filling the critical posts that are vacant in the department. And also we are procuring the tool of trade, because now the environment demands that we should be able to operate wherever we are at the given time. So we are procuring the tools of trade so that we can optimize a remote operation. And we are also internally considering the issue of making it public, or publicizing the rights that we have granted. And we will provide a progress report in 3 months period. Next slide, colleague. So this part, we just put it as additional information, being mindful of time. It's for members' consumption and public. So I think on that note, I will thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Ms. Kobe, for the presentation. Chair, if I may just conclude, firstly to say that a challenge, do we have a challenge? Yes, we do have a challenge because we're off the backlog that we're having. Do we have a plan to deal with the backlog? I am confident that we have a plan. I can give that assurance. Is the plan being implemented? The plan is being implemented. As we speak, we have started in Mpumalanga, which is the one that is showing the most of the backlog. And we are getting results. Between last week, just to give an example, Between last week and this week, we were able to conclude 23 submissions for decision making. We also were able to conclude 16 applications, which basically were either accepted or rejected. So there is work that is being done, and this is only for Mpumalanga that I'm talking to. So I am confident that the turnaround is unfolding, and we are hard at work to make sure that the picture looks different. As I said last week, we are monitoring this on a weekly basis. I need to see submissions coming to headquarters on a weekly basis. We will then be adjudicating the 23 that will have come from last week. Then the next province where we're going to be focusing on heavily is Limpopo. I have already initiated a plan to be developed for Limpopo in particular, and not that other provinces will not be our focus, but we have to start somewhere. So we will replicate what we have done in Mpumalanga, we'll replicate it in Limpopo. But I've given them the Limpopo team, we've given them a chance to say, how do we change this picture? They must show us. And then if we need to augment, we will do as we have done in Mpumalanga. Just to also indicate that we listened last week, and I think the DG will talk to the system at an appropriate time. But there has been, we have internalized what the committee said last week. The reason we wanted to show the presentation, and I know that it may have taken long, is to indicate that even to get to the 14 days, it is an involved process. But we are saying to the team, that's what we committed to. That's the contract we signed for. And therefore, we need to make sure we deliver on that. And I must say, in conclusion, that the team has been receptive, particularly in Mpumalanga, to the to the effort that we've put under the leadership of the DG to make sure that we change that picture. With that, I thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you. DG, over to you.
Thank you very much, DG Maqhubela and Chief Director Kobe. There are other questions that were raised. I think most of the questions have been covered. I will just deal with some few remaining questions that came from honorable members. The other question, or the questions that I'm going to deal with, they relate to the vacant post in the department. And the other question is in relation with the issue of Bonsman Stewart Farm that honorable member raised, and also the question on sterilization of minerals. And so maybe without going through all of the questions, let me just respond to them. On the vacant post, I must confirm at the C vacant post, that is the DG's level, we don't have any vacant post. That is the commitment that the minister made when he joined the department, and so that has been achieved. Now, when you go to chief directors as well, we have filled all the posts of the chief directors. We have moved also in making sure that we advertise quite a substantive number of urban vacant posts. The reason why there was a delay, as you know, that we have labor at the workplace. We wanted to fill all these posts by last year. And so unfortunately, due to the NMOC process, we had to wait up until that process is concluded, and it was only concluded around September last year. Then we immediately started in advertising all the vacant posts. In fact, we have prioritized them. We started with 18 posts that we advertised in November. The 38 posts were advertised in December. And now in terms of the progress to date, we have officials that have started on the 1st of March. There are those that are going to start on the 15th of March from the 18 post. And we also have most of the people that are going to be starting from the 1st of April from the 38 posts that we have advertised. We are currently busy with shortlisting and also interviews. Now, as for the acting in regions, I think I must also link this with the question around the leadership in our regional offices. As I said, Chair, that we need to admit where there were wrong doings. It is an open secret. That is why the minister instituted the investigations, I mean, in those regions. Now, we only have two regions where we have people that are acting. That is KZN. The reason why we have an acting RM in KZN, it is because of the RM, the then RM has been appointed as the chief director. Then in Mpumalanga, we have acting RM. The reason as well for that, it is because of the RM that is on suspension. And so, of course, I mean, all these things, especially when you look at Mpumalanga 1, as the question of consequence management was raised. And so we are applying the law. That is why the RM is on suspension. It is because of some shenanigans that have been happening there. And so we have taken a guidance from yourself, Chair, and honorable members, that we need to be decisive in dealing with issues of consequence management at the workplace. I can also confirm, whilst I'm still on this issue of disciplinary cases, that we have five cases, disciplinary cases at the moment in the department. In terms of the breakdown of those cases, we are waiting for a report. Two cases, we are waiting for the report from the chair. There is one appeal. We also have one case that will start again because of the appeal or dispute that has been raised. There is also another case that we'll be dealing with as well in relation with the dispute that has been raised. And the last case, we are just waiting for the sanction from the chairperson that you know, decided over this matter. And so we are making some progress in responding to the issues that we have raised. Maybe we did not amplify our submission accurately when we appeared before honorable members. Now, the other question, it is in relation with Bosman Stewart Farm. I must actually indicate to the honorable members that we are checking this matter. I've been engaging with the regional office. Now, the information that we have received is about the applications that have been received on the same place. And so now, because of protocol, we didn't want to call Honorable Lorima directly to talk to him, but with your indulgence, Chair, if then that would be allowed for further information, because we also check this information on the system. Because as you know, that these farms, they've got similar names. And so when they look at it in the system, and so it must reflect. But without maybe lamenting on this one, we would make sure that we do a proper investigation as to how the prospecting permit was issued without a due process being followed. Because these are some of the things that you have raised that we have also confirmed, that these are the things that we need to deal with within our regional offices, in particular, as we are engaging on the issue of how we administer the applications. And so we'll give a feedback. I must indicate that again on Mpumalanga on the issue of consequence management, because I think we did not also raise this point that you will remember that there was an official that wanted a bribe, and so we took this matter up quickly. I think it was 2 years ago. I mean, you know, that official was dismissed from the department regional office in Mpumalanga. There was also another official in Mpumalanga regional office that resigned because the train was coming directly to him, and so he realized that he needs to shift. And so, but these are the initiatives that we are, you know, making sure that we push quite aggressively. There was also a question around the people that are sterilizing the old bodies. Now, yesterday we also had a very constructive session where the junior miners, you know, it was a TDEC panel discussion. This issue of sterilization of minerals also came out quite strongly. And so we are looking at this issue, working together with relevant stakeholders. As you know that we have the mining companies that are members of the Minerals Council. We have also mining companies that are not members of the council. And so we are engaged in that. We can issue prospecting rights that are not being exploited. We can issue mining rights that are not being used. And so people, if they don't have appetite, they must just relinquish those mining rights to people that have got a keen interest. Because we do have many companies that are coming to the department, both local companies and also foreign-owned companies that are approaching us about the opportunities of mining, prospecting, and so forth. Now, the other issue, as you know, that it's not like maybe we did not want to act immediately, because this issue is always, got to be raised, the tenure of security and so forth. And so it is one point that we have also looked at, that we need to communicate with these companies to make them aware that there is actually a certainty when you get your prospecting right and even when you get your mining right. But what is important is for you to make sure that you use those the rights that have been granted to you. Now, there was also a point or a question on the information on our website. You will remember when we started with the mining charter, there was an issue about the SLPs that are not being made available. And so information, it must be made available to the public because we are a government and it shouldn't be a problem. It was raised this question that maybe there should be a transparency in terms of our information. And so it shouldn't be a problem where information needs to be made out for public. And so we should be able to do that. There was also an issue, DDG Makubela has also covered this point. I just want to add the turnaround time. And so we are no longer talking of we have started with the implementation of the turnaround time. Remember that even with the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, we have also articulated this point clearly that we are going to improve on our turnaround time. And so that has been done. And the minister has been also very vocal on this point since his inception in the department that we need to improve on the turnaround time. And so we are hard at work in making sure that 50%, that will be our turnaround time from whatever time that we used to spend in processing applications. And so we are focusing mainly on the prospecting rights. There are other areas like Section 102 that, they don't need to take for too long to be processed. And so looking at Section 11 as well, we'll make sure that, in fact, we have cases right now where we have processed applications, as the DDG has indicated, within a very reasonable period of time, in line with the pronouncement by the president and the minister. And so it is something that we are looking at, and I think at the right time, when members would like to get information, we should be able to favor members with, or provide members with such information. Now, on the question of exploration, as you're aware that we are currently working on a plan
It is still a work in progress. We, you know, it's a work that we are doing together with the Minerals Council. Now, after we have done this work, we are going to then take it to the public for further our stakeholders for further comments. And so the issue of exploration, it is getting the necessary, you know, priority, as the minister has raised it, that, you know, it is a matter of us having to put everything aside and make sure that, you know, we come up with a plan. And so it is also as per the commitment that we have made in our document, the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. And so as for the information, as the question was raised, whether it will be available for people, you know, exploration funding. We are working with the Minerals Council and other, you know, companies that are not members, as I've indicated. On Monday, we had a very constructive meeting and productive meeting with the Minerals Council on this issue, whereby the council has indicated that we have an opportunity of unlocking close to 20 billion rand in exploration. And so this is actually a step towards the right direction in making sure that, you know, we invest more in exploration. As you know that, I mean, you know, it's not the purpose of the meeting as such to talk more about companies that have declared interest in terms of investment in the country. And so we have quite a sizable number of companies that have started to invest. We can talk of Sibanye, we can talk of Sibanye Stillwater, can also talk of Harmony and other companies. And so even the junior miners as well, they are, you know, coming to the party, because the issue of, you know, the law is well articulated and clarified. And so that is why people, you know, are now coming up quite strongly. Now, we also have an issue on the tools of trade. I would like to invite the CFO to comment on this point. I think it was just unfortunate that, I mean, you know, we did not amplify the point as we presented to the honorable members. But with your indulgence, honorable chair, I would actually request that the CFO should be given an opportunity to talk to this issue. Now, the issue of cadastral or SAMRAD system, it's something that, you know, the minister was, yesterday night we had a session with the minister on this point. And he was giving us, you know, his concerns that, I mean, if we don't get this system right, we are really, you know, going to have a very serious challenge as the department. Now, this issue is a priority. Now, the commitment that you are making to honorable members, I was even saying to the DPG that we're going to spend nights making sure that we work on this matter, I mean, this system. And so we're giving a commitment that in the next 6 months, we should be able to come back and give a proper feedback in terms of what we have done, because we can't keep on theorizing. And so there was a question whether the system is dysfunctional, whether do you want to keep it or not. I think it's the question of us having to do a study to check if we continue with the system. In fact, the work has already started. It may be cost effective if maybe we look at a new system. And so we'll make that determination within this period of 6 months. We should be able to then to come back and give you know, an update on what we have done. And so I'll pause there, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and invite the CFO just to talk briefly on the issue of tools of trade. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, good morning. I think under the tools of trade, Chair, the lockdown did provide us an opportunity to assess our tools of trade. Officials were expected to work remotely, so we did use that opportunity to assess all the tools of trade. From the budget side, we've set aside funding to replace all our laptops that needed replacement. And in this assessment, when staff were expected to work remotely, we realized at that stage to have officials to work remotely, we needed to provide certain tools. And if they didn't have a laptop and a internet connection and a 3G connection, it didn't quite work. So we have done that assessment, we've set aside funds, and the procurement of laptops are currently underway. In terms of the printing at regional offices in particular, we have participated in our transversal contracts at National Treasury. National Treasury went out on a competitive bidding process, and the department decided to participate in that process just to, for a speedy resolution to assist all the regional offices to ensure that we have printers readily available to service those offices, and especially for the service delivery to our customers that are walk-ins in those offices. The lastly, Chair, is under cell phones. Yes, there has been an additional requirement in terms of all the virtual meetings that we've had. The data has been an additional cost. There have been additional requirements, and much of our meetings now are taking place virtually. So here again, Treasury has gone out on a contract, a competitive bidding process, and a new contract for cell phones will be available from 1 April. And we will assess if it's, we'll do a cost-benefit analysis to see if we should participate or should we go out on our own contract. And we will take the best solution to ensure business continuity. With that, I thank you, Chair, and thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, CFO. Thank you, Chair. Over to you, Honorable Chair.
Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you, DG, and the team. I know, let me say, there is one outstanding information. The other one, I don't know whether is related to this meeting, because there were issues that were referred to this committee. The other one, we are working on it, which is the Makua matter, which we said we needed the written response, DG. Then there is the issue of the letter of complaint that was sent to the Speaker's office. My main worry is that I don't know, when you've got so much backlog, if a committee of parliament were to sit and try and get an answer and follow each and every matter that is raised. But the difficulty is that when a matter is raised with the committee, you can't take to any other place except to the committee. Whereas when it is sent to the Speaker and also referred to us, that is the difficulty. So I would have thought that at least for the one that came was sent to the Speaker, we'll get an answer. Maybe we reserve the Makua one so that when we meet with Makua, you can be able to present a response to the issues that they've raised. Having said so, let me not deprive honorable members. They may want to ask questions. I see the hand of Honorable Lorima is already up. The hand of Honorable Maila is up. The hand of Honorable Mashaule is up, and the hand of Honorable Kula, the hand of Honorable Malinga and Honorable Matokwe. Let me do it like this. I'll give Honorable Lorima. After Honorable Lorima, it will be Honorable Mashaule. After Honorable Mashaule, it will be Honorable Matokwe. After Honorable Matokwe, it will be Honorable Mailem. After Honorable Mailem, it will be Honorable Malinga, and then it will be Honorable Kula. In that line. So Honorable Lorima, Honorable Mashaule, Honorable Matokwe, Honorable Mailem, Honorable Malinga, and then Honorable Kula.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thank you, DG, for...
Sorry, good honourable. Please, DG, write down so that no member must say at the end of the session where your answers is not been responded to. Take the questions correctly or the comments correctly. Okay, Honourable Loren.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. DG, thanks for your attention on the Borschmann's Put matter. Please don't stand on ceremony. I don't care about protocol. If you need information from me, call me and I'll give it to you. I'm very anxious to get to the bottom of this one. So that's the good. And now on to the bad and the ugly, because I'm afraid that the department has a credibility problem. We have heard this kind of thing time and time again. And you say you're addressing it, but I don't think it's good enough. So let's start with your comment that you finalized 23 or 26 applications in backlog applications in Mpumalanga last week. So if you do 26 a week, you'll do 1,352 backlogged applications a year. We've got a backlog of 5,300. That means more than 4 years to clear the backlog at the rate that you say, the new fast rate. That's not good enough. It won't solve the problem. I'd like a sense from you on, well, let's put it this way. We've got a backlog of 2,500 on prospecting rights, and yet we say we're trying to attract more people to do mineral exploration. And yet there's that kind of backlog. So I hear that you're addressing it. I hear all that. But I want a firm date from you, DG, by when this will be cleared. Not a year from now, 6 months from now. Day, month, year. Will you commit to a target by when you will clear the backlog? Second question. Slide 11. It's very confusing. It says, if an applicant is non-historically disadvantaged for prospecting rights, then BEE applies. Now, this is in contravention of the Mining Charter, which does not say that prospecting applicants have to be BEE compliant. And the minister has said on several occasions that to get prospecting rights, you don't have to be BEE compliant. So who's right, the minister or the department? Because it seems the department has not been giving any prospecting rights to non-BEE compliant prospectors. So who's reading the Mining Charter wrong? Who's making policy? Is it the department or is it the minister? Please clarify that. Right, slide 22. This is the one dealing with, it says check spatial conflict and draft spatial report. And this in the context of there being numerous reports of double grantings. So how does this step take place? How do you check the spatial conflict and draft the spatial report, particularly in view of the status FAMRAD, when you can't get your officials can't get in half the time, and then the data is incomplete? So how do you square that particular circle? And then I'd like to know how you do the check on seeing that the proposed exploration works program makes technical and scientific sense. Who decides that it does? And then is there a check done to ensure that the applicant has access to technical and financial expertise to conduct the exploration works program? I'd like to know how you operate there. So on slide 23, we get from the department that it's going to the trouble of faxing the magistrate's office for the magistrate to put that notice on their notice board. And yet that same document is not put on the department's own website. Why not? If you go to all that trouble of faxing a document, why can that document not be put up for wide public access on the department's own internet website? Perhaps somebody should introduce the people in licensing to the internet, which has been, I believe, popular for the last 25 years. Now, it is important to know the difference between granted versus executed permits. Some permits are granted but never executed, so that mining can't be accessed by people. And here comes the whole question about sterilizing rights. It would be very interesting to know by when this problem will have been fixed. And as a starter to that, DG, can we have the difference between the granted and executed rights? That's a very interesting number to know, because then we'll know how many are out there not being acted on and effectively being sterilized. I suspect that number is going to be rather large. All of this really comes down to SAMRAD. And I've got to tell you that I'm skeptical about what I'm hearing about SAMRAD. And I'll tell you why I'm skeptical, because I'm going to read to you from some committee meetings, some minutes. Remember that SAMRAD came in April 2011. Minutes of the Portfolio Committee, 15th of April 2015. Here we go, quote, a detailed action plan was in place and had already been presented to members. There were challenges when the system was being implemented. The system had come a long way and improved considerably. A major improvement was in February 2015, which had changed the face of SAMRAD from what it was, as users had struggled to use the system along with a number of other things. The system was upgraded and was working. That's 2015. Jump ahead. 2018. Quote from the minutes of the Portfolio Committee meeting 21st of November. Members were concerned with regards to SAMRAD that the department cannot give indication of the compliance of the mining companies with the conditions of their rights. The excuses ring hollow, and it appears the DMR is deliberately withholding compliance data. SAMRAD is clearly not providing the information needed by the DEA for its monitoring of environmental issues. And then in the answer, the CFO explains on SAMRAD the challenges with SAMRAD. The problem is that it cannot give integrated and summarized information that is reliable yet. And then last night, DG, you were talking to miners and your Canadian thing, your Canadian platform with potential mining investors, and you said the following. You said it's a project that we're working on. There's a need for improvement or enhancement. We are hard at work attending to this problem. Measures and processes are being looked at as how to go about it. By the time we reconvene again next year, we will be telling a different story. As a regulator, we have a responsibility to have a system that would be efficient. Well, indeed, and you don't have one. And yet we're hearing again, now you're going to form a committee and you're going to decide what to do. Well, 2 years ago, you were admitting that SAMRAD had failed and you were saying you were going to do something about it. 2 years later, there's nothing. 9 years after SAMRAD was formed, it's never worked. There is still nothing. That's not just my judgment. That's the judgment of your own officials, because we heard last week that they're not entering information into SAMRAD. They're being, quote unquote, naughty. Well, why are they being naughty? And I tell you why. It's because they don't believe that SAMRAD works either. When they try and get into SAMRAD, they can't access it. So my question to you is, why persist with SAMRAD when it clearly doesn't work? Next question. It has been widely reported that the mining industry has offered to pay for an entirely new cadastral system. They will pay for it. They will pay for the loading of the information off SAMRAD onto that system and all the backlogged information, and they will then hand that over to the department for free. Please, can you comment on that and tell us that if that offer has been made, why haven't you accepted it yet? Because the best case with SAMRAD is it's going to take another 2-3 years to fix, even if everything that you say goes according to plan, which I don't believe it will. 2 or 3 more years without a credible cadastral system, and yet there's one on offer which we could have in months. So please answer, if you haven't accepted that, why not? I also want to take you through the effects of this inefficient system, because it is the policy of this government, which they tell us time and again, to get new black entrants into mining. But do you know how difficult it is to get into mining if you're a small entrant? And I've got a case study here. It's a study of a young man from Northwest Province who wanted a mining permit, just a permit, to mine a brownfields area. In other words, it's been mined before, to see if there are any diamonds there. It took him 13 months from his first inquiries till when a permit was granted. And the only reason it was granted was because he was lucky enough to have a benefactor who effectively sponsored him 120,000 rand, because that's what it took to get this permit. When you're a small miner and you want to know whether there is a piece of land available, you have to make an application to the regional office. When they feel like it, and it may be months, they may get back to tell you whether or not somebody already has rights to that land. Often legal fees are involved. The department doesn't get back to you. I know this. Many, many people have told me. You have to nag them. You have to go there. You have to phone them. You have to email them. Eventually, you might be lucky enough to get a response. So here we have it. That's why there are not new entrants, more new entrants into the system. There's a huge backlog in rights. The department does not help. The department does not have a system that can tell you how you can get rights. And quite frankly, DG, the solutions that you're offering are the same solutions. I have no trust at all that anything is going to be different and that we're not going to be here back here in a year and the same situation will pertain. I'd like an explanation, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I assume that you are giving me the platform. I want to start, DG, with the point where the statistics of Black females that are now starting to enter the petroleum sector is categorized as 6%. I can't remember what slide was that. The same ability to categorize Black females, and of course, it's in a positive light that you are indicating that Black females are starting to enter into the business. The same ability you used or you had, can that be used to categorize males and females that are participating in the petroleum for the white race? The reason for that is that you have made a point last week that because of the requirement of historically disadvantaged people, when you decline white males, there is a tendency to put white females in the system, which is fine, but I think that information is important. Just as it's important to have a categorization of sub-race in terms of Indians, colors, and Africans. And DG, I think your request to have 3 months to deal with this is reasonable. When we asked you to populate the presentation last week, we're not in an illusion that today you would have resolved 1,000 of those cases in the backlog. We were not there. We just wanted you to populate it so that we understand the magnitude of the problem. And it pleases me, for one, to hear that from that period to this period, you have managed to process some of the applications in the backlog. And I'm not going to be a mathematician and say, because you have processed this much, it means you'll take so many years to process the others. No, I'm not there. I'm appreciating the fact that there is work that has started in Mpumalanga office. And your reasonable request to have 3 months to resolve this issue. And I think that is a reasonable request. Chair, I will end there because there is a rude person on my door that is knocking. I need to respond to that. Thank you very much.
Hello, madam. I'm supposed to be next. I thought you know your list. Oh, no, Madam. No, it's not of Madam. Sorry. There's a problem, Honorable Madoga. It seems there's a problem with the network. Can I give Honorable Mylem in the meantime, Honorable Madoga, if possible, for the sake of this meeting? I saw that's why I was trying to respond to Honorable Langa. For the sake of this meeting, if possible, you can also write your comments on the wall, and we will read them in the meantime. And then we will, the department, I'm sure, would have seen, or we will refer them to that column, and then they will have to be responded to. That's why I was trying to explain, honorable members, the most difficult thing, committees of parliament, unfortunately, are determined by Parliament. Honorable Langa had written that he requests that we go physical. The point is, even if we were to agree here, it will have then to be taken to Parliament, and only the committee, the programming committee and the Chief Whip's Forum can make a final decision on how committee meeting can proceed. So until such time we are given a go ahead, we do. The limitations of Parliament are always there. We don't just decide we want a meeting on this date or we want a meeting to hear. Everything that we do, it must be applied for. So I regret that that one is beyond my comprehension. I can't make a decision on that one. Can I give Honorable Mylem in the meantime?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, I must apologize. Last week, I missed the first half of the meeting. I was tied up and I submitted an apology. So if I have covered, if what I ask has been covered, I apologize for that. My first question relates to the petroleum licensing. I regularly get reports of lengthy delays in the various steps of that petroleum licensing. And these include being notified of an outcome via SMS, but when the applicant then goes to the regional office, there's nothing on the system. So they're told your application has been approved, but then when they go to the office to get the paperwork, there's nothing on the system. Can you advise DG and department, what is the reason for that delay in getting it onto the system? And why is that not automated, that it's emailed to the applicant, that they can get it as soon as it's approved, it gets emailed to them? Then, on mining rights, we see that there's an enormous backlog. And what I'd really like to know is, what is the age of the backlog? How old are the oldest applications? And why aren't those being prioritized first? In other words, deal with the oldest and move forward through them. Also, and you indicated that Mpumalanga was being prioritized and that you are now rolling it out to Limpopo. We've got issues in the Northwest and the Northern Cape, and it seems to me that you're dealing with this on a piecemeal approach. And I really would argue that this matter needs to be dealt with across the board, that your attempts to address this backlog need to go to all provinces, and they all need to urgently address the problems that are being encountered. Honorable Lorimer has been spoke at length about the problem with SAMRAD. I've also, on a number of occasions, raised the issue of the SAMRAD licensing system for 2 years. And I said in the budget debates in 2019 that this system should be scrapped and replaced with something else. Now, can I ask this? Why is it taken so long for the department to decide? Well, no, they haven't decided. Why has it taken so long for the department to finally realize that there is a need to evaluate whether to keep or scrap the SAMRAD system? I mean, we've been raising it. The committee's been raising it. Honorable Lorimer has been talking about it for years. The sector has been raising it. It seems to me like there is absolutely no will on the part of the department to deal with this issue. Can I get some clarity on that? Just while we're talking about that, Honorable Lorimer raised the point about publicizing the mining rights on the departmental website. But one of the issues that jumps to mind is that when an application is accepted by the department, it becomes a public document. And at that point, it should be publicized for public consultations anyway. So the question isn't only about the actual right, but also about the application. And I would argue that it's a dereliction of duty to not publicize it and make it widely publicized from the moment that you accept them in the regional office. That should include everything, including the regulation 2.2 diagrams and exactly what area is covered by the application. My last comment, Chair, is with regard to the tools of the trade. And as Honorable Lorimer pointed out last week, the department has had a year of lockdown to sort out this issue. And we were taken through the various cost savings when we looked at the budget amendments. But what is the actual delay here? Why has it taken so long to ensure that people are able to do their jobs, that they have the necessary equipment to do their jobs? What's holding this back? Can I get some clarity on that, please? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, members of the Portfolio Committee, the department led by Advocate Mgwena and his team, our committee staff, media houses in the platform. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation or the responses as requested by the Portfolio Committee and say, though they are not 100%, but we see that the department took the questions that we raised seriously. On the issue of website, Chair, I think the DG, they need to work with speed to get it up and running to make sure that departmental communication, people can be able to access it. We are in 4IR, Chair, and that will assist them to also inform the community of whatever that is happening in terms of your permits and all that, Chair. With the issue of SAMRAD, Chair, I think it's good for the department that they inform us that their system is not working. But what will be much better, Chair, is for them to tell us how soon can they fix this SAMRAD system. If they don't have ICT in the house or in the department, can't they check maybe from communications department whether there are people who are going to assist them and also Chair, assist them in line with what they want that system to be? Chairperson, the issue of tools of trade. I think I would have appreciated the response if it was that the CFO would have said maybe they couldn't purchase the tools of trade because all departments had to redo or rework their budgets given the COVID-19 that came to our shores. Not that they were still assessing. Because maybe they would have budgeted for the tools of trade, but due to this COVID-19, all funds were had to be rearranged. Chairperson, I am a bit disturbed by a slide. I can't remember it correctly. they say if the right, I think it was the chief director who was presenting, female chief director was presenting on mining rights, who said if the right is awarded, a call is made that the right has been awarded or you have been approved. But if it's rejected, it has to be written down. Why the double standard? Because I think last week we saw that their records, they are in tatters. Maybe that's the reason, because one, you give a call, the other you write. How do you keep the records that you have approved that right? Because it has to be written whether approved or not approved. There should be a record. Because I think when you approve, you need to outline that this person fulfills all the regulations and requirements of that right. And when the person is not awarded, this is what is needed. Then it gets to be recorded. Chairperson, let me also welcome the issue of the DG and DDG Magubela to deal decisively with the Mpumalanga office, because and also let me thank Honorable Mashaule for bringing this matter to the portfolio committee. We if he didn't, I think we wouldn't be receiving such information. Thank you. Can you keep up the good work, Chairperson? DG in making sure that the Mpumalanga office, because even if you check the statistics, they are behind in mining rights, in prospecting rights, in mining permits. Bona, they have the biggest numbers from all the other provinces. So I think more work needs to be done in Mpumalanga. Then the Director General tells us that they are disciplinary cases that are ongoing in the department. Then I am reminded, Chair, that I think it was the audit outcome whereby there was one personnel who was queried his movement or her movement from the regional office to the head office in terms of traveling. How far is that case? Was that case resolved? Because I think even that one needs to get an answer, because it was a lot of money. If I'm not mistaken, it was something like in the tune of 700,000 in traveling allowances, Chair. But all in all, let me also welcome the 3 months timeline that the department has put. We are going to hold them accountable to that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to you. Greetings to colleagues in the portfolio committee, to the department as led by the capable DG Advocate Mukwena. Chair, firstly, I want to say that it is encouraging to hear that the department in their ex-committee have came out to say that they will no longer tolerate or pay lip service to consequence management. Because I think that is one of the issues in our government, that we are seen not to be less harsh on that aspect of consequence management. One, Chair, I think I concur with my colleague and leader, Honorable Mashaule, that how we characterize these numbers, the same way we are able to say that these are the numbers of females, black females, we must also be able to say these are the numbers of white females, these are the numbers of white males. Because sometimes we do not get the actual picture of who has control, especially in the petroleum space, Chair. So the thing that they would characterize people in terms of race, gender, I think it's quite welcome. But we must go a step further to characterize it also in terms of age. Because you'll find a scenario whereby that majority of the people in this space, it's old white males. Because one of the things we also need to address is that we need to be ensuring that we bring a lot of young people into this space, Chair. The report speaks about the Muloto audit that was undertaken in 2018. If I heard correctly, that the previous audit was undertaken in 2010. My question would then be that when is the next audit going to be undertaken? Because I think it is that audit that is able to give us a correct picture of what is happening. But I must say, Chair, that it is quite worrisome in terms of the number of historically disadvantaged South Africans who are playing a meaningful role in the petroleum space. Because when you look at it, after the characterization of the white group, it's then the Indians, the blacks and the colored, the Africans and the colored are still lagging far behind in that space. And I would want to say, to ask the department that what is their plan? Because I think in terms of the economic active population, the African groups remain the highest group, but that is not represented in the petroleum space. So what are some of their plans to ensure that they bring as much Black Africans into that space as possible, Chair? Another issue which colleagues have spoken at length about is the backlog in the... And to me, Chair, I'm saying, when I look at the planned interventions, some of them that are already in place to deal with the backlog, I don't see any qualms about us trusting the department to be able to deal with the backlog and give a report back on 3 months. I think that it's justifiable. You can see that the department is on their laurels, waiting for the situation in Mpumalanga to resolve itself. They've got an active program to ensure that they turn around that situation. So the only thing that they would need, Chair, is our own support, and I think we must give it to them and trust that they'll be able to deal with that challenge, Chair. Lastly, Chair, I wanted to ask in terms of the application for non-historically disadvantaged South African entities or natural persons. I've seen how the department outlines the process. But there's another challenge which we are not dealing with, which is the challenge of fronting in the mining sector. And some of colleagues in the portfolio committee will shy away from that question, that some of these entities of non-historically disadvantaged South African and naturalized persons, they use their BEE partners as cover. They are not actually partners in some of these entities. So I want to ask the department that what are some of the plans in their application process that they have to deal with the question of fronting in the mining space? I will end there for now. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. With your question, DG, as you respond, let me say that thanks for your presentation. I think we must note the commitment and the fact that there is work that is beginning to kick up. First, let me say, because there is a letter written to the committee, which will have to refer that letter back to the speaker. I think it is important when you respond that the written response to that letter be presented to this committee, because it's now also a matter for the committee. Or because I don't know whether all honorable members have received that letter. But let me also say, let me say also, maybe you can give comfort to us that one, uh,
because I must say that there will be a degree of concern that the movement or the work that is being done of the team is not a replacement or a movement or an exercise that ignores the normal work that is supposed to be happening in other provinces. If that's what you say, so that as a committee, we know what we are dealing with. I wouldn't want a situation where we approve something and only to find out that it is not what we think it is. That when you say your focus in Mpumalanga, it is an intervention approach in Mpumalanga as a way of alleviating the situation. That to me is a responsive exercise. If you can just maybe in your response, just clarify that part, what does it mean? Does it mean, because in most cases, we may have a literal interpretation that it means nothing will be happening in other provinces or your other regional offices of yours, except this one. Two, I think it's important just to give confidence. Look, I don't think it's a problem, DG, that there is an action that is being taken. But sometimes to make an assumption that because we're trying to find solutions here, I wouldn't want us to be seized with this thing every day. And I wouldn't want a situation where everybody just with, and I'm not saying it's wrong, it's correct for people to write to the committee, it's correct for people to write to individuals, but sometimes an impression gets disempowering as though we are not capable. Now we have to always manage and navigate between the executive actions and the accountability and oversight responsibilities that exist. The public out there don't know, don't draw a distinction between the two. So when they refer things, they may have an assumption that Parliament can interfere with operational issues. And the challenge is one is that at the end of the day, question then arises, why do you want to represent commercial interest? Whilst on the other side, we've got a duty and a responsibility to ensure that the developmental agenda is advanced. We want to see that we grow this economy, and we can only grow this economy when we fast track, like the minister always says, that let's make it quite friendly and quite easy for people. The more exploration, the more possibilities, the more availability of opportunities for people to generate the things that will grow our economy and create more jobs. Now, I think it's important then as you give us that assurance that we deal with Mpumalanga, you are also looking at setting up which processes can do and frustrate this exercise. I don't want to deny the fact that the COVID has had an impact. But I'm sure all of us, we know that this has been there even long before the COVID. The Mpumalanga office has been a problem, even I suppose predating the period of the minister or yourself or even myself. Maybe I would know other members who have been there. So it's important that we deal with those issues by assurance. Now, I don't want to assume then that when an action is taken, it's not clear. I may not differ with the question because I don't want us to, it's a discussion that probably we must have whether under matters arising, honorable members. But I want to, for me, there has to be assurance that where there has been, the system is traceable. Now, I don't want to assume when you say a man's action has been taken, which is correct, that action, it is based on what? Maybe people were trying to manage, give us a sense of
how people have manipulated or have tried to manipulate the system, and how then we're able to trace those things. Let me tell you, for instance, from the point of entry, I got confirmed that the applications are put in. Then there is a, I don't know what management committee that receives the applications. It sits and deliberates and make assessments. Then it decides whether this can pass or not. But down the line, as it proceeds, it sends to the regional manager with a recommendation that this one must be rejected, this one must be accepted. But at some point on those deliberations, the biggest question is, really, do you reject if I just wrote a wrong date, but I put it on the correct day, on the right time, or if I've written something that may not necessarily the content of the application. At least I'm saying, as we continue understanding, even if after 3 months in your work or intervention, at least you must be able to tell us, here are the areas that we think there are loopholes. Is it possible that in the deliberations, we may then say, no, this one is not good, but now what do we do? Do we leave the place vacant? If we leave this place vacant, how does it happen then you've got a double granting? Because in the very same system, we are told, then they check whether there is no prior application. But when you look into most of the complaints, it's simply because people are told that, no, where you applied, there was someone who was there. So where has been the fault? It's important that all these things, when I'm saying after, even if we say after that 2 months, we need those particular details. And if that is the case, then who is responsible? Who is at fault for that? When the action is taken, is it simple because I manipulated this thing instead of favoring Mokwena to favor Luzipo? I'm just saying, so that the system itself, if there are going to be improvement, because the last time I remember, you were spending money in improving the system. Now, these are the things for me that I'm very interested in. If, for an example, I make an application, I think for me, you must be able to come back. And I don't want to assume that this is on the basis of the nature of the application. But if you can say, when you come back, there was this application, by prioritization, it may be the nature. There could be application that requires that you put them here and then say, no, this one is okay. This one is problematic. Let's go and investigate. I'm saying that could be discretionary. Can you give us a sense, when you come back, on the time we'll give you, which I don't think is difficult to grant you 3 months, but sitting here and knowing some of these things, 3 months might be too short. But again, it's up to you until you are reminded. And then that might be the time you start to, we made this promise to the committee. But I want to say, if you can give us and say in 20, when we went, this team of yours, when it intervenes, let's just take the case of Pumala, when it goes and intervene in 3 months' time, what we found was, one, there were 10 applications for, I'm just making an example, there were 10 applications for 2013-2014 for mining rights and prospecting rights and so forth and so forth. There were these. Ne? And up until, let's say, just to be fair, 2020, December. Then we say from 2020 up to 2020, these were the applications. The nature of them was this, and this is how far now we've reduced it. We've been able to attend the backlog. As you do so, please give us a sense now in that report of your first intervention in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. It's not us, Ziti, who said, you are making an intervention. But I don't want you tomorrow to be blamed that, no, but you never asked us to give you that report. I'm saying, give us, even if it's not the report, because the report was done by yourselves, that in the initial phase, these were the things that we discovered. And some of these, the report had this and this and this, and therefore, this is the action that has been taken against those individuals. That boldness that you demonstrate here is exactly what for me has always been something that you, not again that you have to deal with people, but it has to, there's some point where there has to be a change. Even if it means people now say, forget about what happened in the past, but we must know that we will not go back to where we were. So if for me, as you are making presentation, as you respond, you can be able to say, as we come back, Chair, we may not have those things now. As we come back, we need 1, 2, 3. At least, Bob Makubela, you know, and now let me come to your point. It's important I get what you say. At some point, I got complaints, I was not in the energy. People say, no, we were told that as long as I don't have, I don't know your benchmarks, that if there is a garage within this distance, that garage must have an uptake, ne, of so many. Either 5,000 in the urban areas, it must be 3,000 in others, but then that person has got more than 7,000, but is granted. I'm not granted a license for a fuel station. Are those things possible? And if they do, what is the level of intervention? We need the breakdown is going to help us to understand the agenda for transformation. So if you can help us also on those issues, then we will see on your proposed time frame that you say whether it's a committee, when we make deliberations, is something that we accept or we want to. Usually we extend for you. The only thing it happens to be a problem is when now the date is closer, that we realize that there might be a need for another extension. So this time around, wrap yourself. So DG, can you respond, please?
Okay, Chairperson. Chair.
Okay, you're Mr. Lang. Okay, I didn't see, sorry.
Okay. Can I take the platform through you?
Yes, Chair? Continue.
Okay, thanks, Chair, and greetings to honorable portfolio members, department officials, and parliament staff. And I've been having a challenge with network issues, and I apologize in advance if there'll be any repetition of questions from my side with my colleagues, or if I question on what has been provided clarity on. My first question will be on the first presentation. I think it was on slide 7 or page 7. Did you deliberately use the 2018 BBBEE audit tax report on the petroleum retail sector? This I'm asking because we are now in 2021 and there could have been a lot of changes that are likely to have happened between 2018 and now. And second question will be, we always speak about the department not having consequent management year in and year out and almost in every meeting. And what is being done right now to fix this, and what are timelines? The third one will be, when timelines are not adhered to, what recourse do people who are applying have on the ground as sending emails to the department does not work? Fourth one will be, we have situations where DMRE is taken to court because of issues around licensing, and in some cases, the department does not even respond. Can we be given a breakdown of cases implicating the department on licensing, their status, and whether there are financial implications for taxpayers? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm done for now.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. First, in the waste of time, I would like to invite TDG Makubela together with the Chief Directors, and I will come in at the end just to wrap up if ever there will still be some outstanding questions. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Makubela.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair, and honourable members for the questions. I will be assisted by the Chief Directors in the responses. Before I respond. I just want to state that on the mineral regulation side, I think what I can say is that the team that is there is it's a committed team, but of course we just needed to change the culture a little bit. That's what the observation that I have made. And what the team says is that remove obstacles for us to perform, give us support, we'll do the rest. And really the template that we in Mpumalanga is really beginning to yield results. And maybe in response to the question from the concern, I guess, from Honorable Lorimer, is that I think the application, the number of submissions I was talking to, we are ramping up, one. Two, we are, apart from the finalization of submissions, there is a lot of other work that has been concluded by the teams in Mpumalanga, which will enable a faster ramping up. Just to give an example, over and above the 23 submissions that I referred to that are finalized, there are four executions that have been done of rights, which may not amount to much, but also over and above that, the team dealing with environmental management basically was able to finalize in Mpumalanga alone within the last week 83 records of decision. So there is a lot of work that is being done, and I just want to say that we are ramping up and we are confident that we are going to be on top of this. The Chief Director will deal with some of the issues, especially the one on the prospecting rights. I think in my view, the policy position is the correct position. So we will have to just look at the wording of that, because even yesterday there was confirmation from the minister on the issue of the prospecting right. The rest of the questions my colleagues will cover where I've left. Coming to the issue raised by Honorable Mahlaole, the issue of categorization of white females, we definitely will do that, we will come back to the committee with that. We have not seen much of the shift to white females in retail, which is quite surprising, actually. We are seeing a lot of move in the wholesale sector, that there are a number of applications now that we're receiving from white females. Because if it's a white male only, we you know, we reject, and that is in terms of the charter. And thanks again for the confidence. I think we believe that, you know, the team will rise to the occasion. As I said, we're starting in Mpumalanga. However, this has gone to all the regions. So the heads of all the, we have got a chief director responsible for three regions. We've got three chief directors, each responsible for three regions. And they all have got an obligation to come up with a plan to clear the backlog. However, as I said, we want a template that we'll then use in the other provinces as well. Work is underway in those provinces, and we'll report on that. The issue of maybe the age analysis that was raised by Honorable Myla. What we can say, for example, is that in Mpumalanga, we have applications going back to 2013. And effectively, we can bring an age analysis, but we have applications going back that far. And we are doing first in, basically, is the first one that is going to go out. So we are not going to, no matter what the temptation may be, we are going to make sure that we deal with the year. And that was the instruction to the team. You don't deal with 2014 before you finish 2013, because we want to minimize the double granting issue and also disadvantaging people who applied first. Then on the issue of the delays in licenses to regions, I think here there are two issues on the petroleum side. We are a victim of technology advancement because the SMS gets to the applicant faster than the document is able to be generated in the region. That's the first one. The second one is that last year, we decided to introduce security features in our wholesale or in our certificates, all the certificates. So we started a process of introducing security features so that they cannot be duplicated easily. They are all printed at CETA, and that process took quite a long time. We've now printed all the certificates, those are now in the region. So the complaints may have been because of two things. One, the fact that the SMS is instantaneous, and then you find that the documentation takes longer to get to the region. In terms of the transparency, I think we need to look at the issue of publishing on the website as we do with the petroleum applications. But it's a matter that we will definitely take up and look at. Then on the issue of SAMRAD, I think that the without contradicting, I think the DG has touched on this matter. We definitely are looking at options in this regard, and as DG has indicated, if we do get the 6 months, then we will be able to come back with a system that I believe will be transparent, will be accessible, but also will be able to ensure that colleagues can deliver on the mandate. So, Honorable Malinga, we We thank the confidence that you have. And I think that it also, you know, encourages the team to do more if there is a recognition from the representatives of the people of our country. The SAMRAD, how soon perhaps I will request my DG to respond to that. Honorable Nkula raises issues on the age. And I must admit here that it is correct that the majority of the applicants in the retail space in particular, as opposed to the wholesale, you find that in terms of age, they are, you know, majority of them over 50, and we hardly ever get an applicant in the youth category. However, this is something that the oil companies have committed to. Just quickly to say that we wanted to use the 2018 audit to start a conversation with the oil companies, and we did. And we said to them, these are the results. This picture must change. And they went back. They came back, you know, with all of them with five-year plans, and they all have committed to the EAP as the yardstick. So we are beginning to see a number of applications now, especially from the company-owned and company-operated sites, from Africans, particularly women, and you can see that there is a youth program as well. For example, one oil company has got a program called the Young Dealership Program, which we are encouraging, and because it's going to bring young people into the sector. I think the issues of that were raised by the chair on the inconsistencies in granting, the one thing that we've put now in all the letters is that people can appeal. And in a number of instances, our legal services has come back and said that licensing you have aired here, we think you therefore you need to go back and reevaluate. So we do have a system where people appeal, and our legal services, which is independent, doesn't get involved in the licenses, sometimes overturns the decisions that we have taken, and people are then able to get a different outcome. So there is that checks and balance in the system. Then lastly, on my side, the issue on the consequence management, I think the DG has covered that. And we, you know, we're committed effectively to make sure that people account. However, I still maintain that the culture, if we change the culture in the organization, we're going to find that it is not easy to have an opportunity for people to do wrong things. And that's what we're working hard on in this branch. In the interest of time, I think I will just ask Ms. Kobe to cover the questions that are not covered. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Didi. There were a few questions in relation to mining. The first one was, the one that I've captured was in relation to the how do we do the special checks and compile the special report, considering that there are challenges with SAMRAT as per the honorable member. What we normally do, we do check through the system, and further we do manual checks where we believe that there might be an application. Should we, maybe we should have spreadsheets that are there in the regional office that will capture all the properties by name and with registration numbers. The system only assists us in as far as the polygons are concerned and the information that is captured with the applications accepted and rights that are sitting on the system. So it's not a challenge as such. It might be issues of connectivity, which is an IT problem that will, from time to time, interrupt the system, particularly in the Bobo region, where there's also a study that shows that the aerial from the military base had effect. It still had effect on the operations of the SAMRAT or the signal to SAMRAT. Other than that, I can confirm that we don't even have a case of a double granting in the Bobo, because the system is able to respond adequately except for connectivity challenges. And we also don't have a double granting in other regions except for Mpumalanga, which has also reduced the numbers of double granting, have reduced drastically. And we do have a few West region, and I believe that the system is able to respond to give us at least a certain percentage, a credible percentage of feedback, and most of the reports are accurate. So on the issue of the department being in a position to evaluate technical and financial ability of in respect to the work programs, I think the department has that ability, more so that there are technical people assigned or employed by the department, mainly the geologists and people with financial background, to assess this aspect of a mining work program. And in most cases, to prove technical ability, the company will supply a curriculum vitae of people who has background and a proven background in as far as the mining or prospecting is concerned. We are able to, from that information, evaluate that the company will indeed have or do have the resources in as far as technical ability is concerned. And on financial ability, we rely mainly on the audited financial statements. And being audited then means they've been authenticated by relevant people with competency. And most of them, they are done under oath. So we evaluate and check in line with the plans that are in place, the prospecting plans, and come to a conclusion that financially the application or the applicant will be able to optimally explore the resources. So in as far as the issues of granted versus executed right, I can confirm that indeed we do have those rights that
several occasions. And in this case, the Mawesi decision will apply. So the steps can be provided as requested. I think there are issues that the DPG has already outlined or clarified. I think I've covered all that was left out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Connie and DTG. Chair, let me also take this opportunity to welcome the questions. That is a comprehensive follow-up from the last week's meeting. We really appreciate the way members are engaging with us. And so it demonstrates that you are doing your work as public representatives. Chair, let me deal with the very same point that the honorable member raised of the junior miner who had to pay 120,000 rand. Now, we are currently busy. We have the DDG here, responsible for policy. If she wants to comment, she can comment, but let me cover this point. We are busy with artisanal and small-scale mining policy as a department, because we are very much alive to the fact that the requirements of the MPRDA are quite cumbersome to the small players. Hence that the minister has directed that we must then come up with a artisanal and small-scale mining scale mining policy. And so that will be my response to this point. Indeed, honorable member, the commitment was done yesterday night that we will next year around this period be talking to the colleagues from Canada, that platform. It's an annual event. That is precisely the reason why one then said that next year around this period. But here, we account to you as and when you want us to come and account to you. We have to come here and give that feedback. And so we're making a commitment of 6 months. And so that is a classification on what maybe the honorable member is considering as a conflicting or discrepancy. Yes, whether we married to the SAMRAT system, we're not married to the SAMRAT system. We would make sure that we do everything. I mean, I've taken note of what members alluded to in terms of the history around SAMRAT. Now, I have said when I started, we had a meeting even last night with the minister immediately after our PEDEC panel discussion to deliberate on this matter. We have made a commitment of 6 months, and we'll come back within a period of 6 months. And so if you look at what will be a period of 6 months from now, we are looking around August that we should be able to come back and give the feedback to honorable members. The next question was from Honorable Mika. I think it has been covered. I think the comment that he has made on the issue of 3 months to resolve this matter, we are still making this commitment and we are giving this assurance to the honorable members, because you know accountability can only be realized in action if you commit, because if we are loose and there is no assurance or commitment that is being made, and so we'll keep on shifting the goalpost. And so that is why we are making this commitment. So we would want you to hold us accountable. against what we have committed here. From Honorable Malam, I think I have already dealt with the question that the Honorable Member raised around the SAMRAT system. There was also comments from the Chair, quite extensive, or maybe before I go to the Chair, let me deal with the comments from Honorable Malinga. Thank you very much, Honorable Member, for the questions and the comments. On the issue of the official that is implicated, we will respond. Remember that this issue was discussed quite extensively in the previous PPC, if not PPCs, meetings, and so we'll make sure that we give a clarity on this matter. And we also appreciate the comment on the progress that we have made to date in dealing with disciplinary cases. The other issue, I think this has been clarified. I mean, Honorable Kula, thank you very much. And indeed, I've said that we are no longer going to theorize no lip service to issues of, a discipline. You know, officials have to do their work, because there's no one that is immune. I mean, even if the DG is not doing his work, I mean, there must be consequences against the DG. The same with the DDGs and the rest of the staff. But we must be able to prove, as the executive of the department, of what we have done. And so it can't be correct that we will come here and lament about the problems without doing anything about addressing those problems. And so we have taken guidance on those issues. And so we're not saying that we'll be chasing people, maybe because I feel that I've got a problem with official acts. Now it is an opportunity. You gave us a blank check to be all over chasing the officials. But I think the issues that have been raised here are tangible and factual issues that we have to confront aggressively without any fear or favor. Now, Honorable Chair, in regard with the questions that you have raised, I think in the main, you want us to give the honorable members of the PPC an assurance that we'll come back and give a feedback based on the issues that you have raised without going through each and every point that you have raised here. We can talk of the sequence of applications from 2012, as the issue of the age analysis was raised as well. DDG Makubela has indicated that the information can be made available. But what we can confirm now is that except in Mpumalang, all the provinces, the backlog, that's from 2016. And so Mpumalanga, you count back. And so that is the only province that we are having a challenge. And so, Chair, we are making an assurance that we will attend to all these issues that have been raised in a manner in which you have given us guidance. Honorable Lang, I think, is the last member that asked the question. I just want to deal with the issue of court cases. We do come from time to time to the PPC to appraise honorable members with the progress on the cases. And so, because it was not a matter that we were required to deal with specifically, but we have taken note of the question of the honorable member, because we know that we report from time to time on the court cases, and even with the contingent liability. As you know, that to give a specific amount on the legal fees, it may not be possible, because we can only be able to do that after a case has been concluded. When you think that the case has been concluded, then you will get an appeal. But we have taken note of the question. We will be able to provide members with this information, because it's the information that we report, to the committee, maybe even on quarterly basis. Now, here is the issue, which is the fundamental point
that I've looked and observed actually from the questions of honorable members, even the chair has also amplified his point on this matter. It is around people that are writing to Parliament to raise their concerns. We have said that we'll come here and be frank and honest on how we engage. Now, it is not like these people, they just decide to wake up and write letters to Parliament or to the PPC. The process, firstly, it starts here in the department. They have started raising their issues with us in the department, and so when they don't get any feedback, they then decide that we have a number of people that or institutions that we can raise our concerns with. You have chapter nine institutions, you have Parliament on the other hand. And so that's where now people, you know, decided or they will decide that let us go to those institutions and the Parliament. Now, we had a session on this matter with the minister a week ago that we have made a commitment to be a responsive department. Now, to be responsive, it doesn't matter whether the matter that you are dealing with, you have to, it has to be, you know, replied satisfactory or not satisfactory. But the reality of the matter here is that there must be a feedback that is being given to our people, you know, as you have correctly pointed out, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think Honorable Langa has also, you know, raised the very same question. And so that is the point that we are busy dealing with in the department. And so now, you remember the issue of the toll-free number as well in the presidency. That is also being used as well by companies or people out there when they can't get any satisfactory outcome from the department. Now, Chair, what we would like to commit as the department is that we will monitor this process very closely. And as and when this happens, that there are people that are now communicating with you directly as Parliament, it will mean that we have failed in doing what we're supposed to do. Then there must be consequences there. People that have failed to do their work, they must account. And so I think that is a commitment that we can make on this point, because sometimes we become too comfortable. We think that, you know, people cannot take us to the court, because they can't take us to the court. They don't have money to take us to the court. Only those that have money can do that, as they do at times when decisions are being made, whether rightfully or wrongfully so. And so we have taken note of all these issues, Chair, and also the commitment and assurance that you are making to the honorable members that will make a follow-up on all these matters. But then lastly, Chair, the issue that has been raised by the honorable member, I just want to cover this because I know, Chair, you like saying that even if I did not take an affirmation here, but it is as if I have taken an affirmation, that there was a comment from the honorable member that I must not worry that much about protocol issues. I have taken note of that point. However, we know that communication between us, it must be directed to the portfolio committee, and there is a secretariat, and that's what we will do, and we'll process this matter. I'm referring to the question that Honorable Lorima raised of Mpumalang, and so we'll make sure that we make a follow-up on this matter, and we will write to the secretary, to the portfolio committee, in terms of our investigations. And so I think those were the few remaining points that I wanted to touch on. But then on the issue of the chair, before I hand over to you, on the issue of tools of trade, we have taken note of the point that has been raised by honorable members.
I think, Chair, in some instances, we just need to admit that we could have done better. We will make sure that we do improve. Now, Chair, if you may allow me, there is a letter that we have written to the committee. I don't know if Ayanda can be able to project it on the screen. I'm looking at the time, Chair, just to talk to this letter quickly, Chair. Yes, I mean, without going through this letter point by point, Chair, we have responded to the application and appeal by Volosan. And so the letter has been sent, as you can see, that we have projected it on the screen. And now, can you go to the last paragraph, Ayanda? Now, the commitment that we are making now to the honorable members is that we will expedite this appeal and to ensure that it is finalized, and we'll come back to you immediately, Chair, after we have concluded on this appeal. I know I have also interacted with the Chief Director, Advocate Peter Albers, on this matter. It is so unfortunate that this matter was delayed to this extent. And so, but honorable members have gone through the letter as it has been distributed to the honorable members. It's just for it to be recorded officially that we have responded to this point. And also, Chair, to indicate, I know that you have touched on this point, on the matter of Makua as well, Chair. We will be responding. Maybe in the next meeting, it will then also be presented officially in the meeting. But we have prepared a comprehensive response in relation with the matter of Makua without getting into the details of it. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and honorable members.
Okay, DG. The time is a crisis. Allow me, honorable members, to make the following. That DG, one, when you do your, we'll want to look at your APPs, né? And we'll be looking at your budget proposals, but also we'll be looking at, which is very critical, at your annual targets. Please put this in mind, that if it is not reflected, it will mean Ineas Rob. So find a way of how do you factor in this element, understanding the challenges you are faced with in the industry. The second thing is, I think let's agree that we can give you, let's say, before the BRRR. Let's try and be flexible. Before the BRRR, we will need to have a session on this, on the extent of work that has been done in terms of improving the licensing regime. Thirdly, try and identify the areas that require improvement on, I'm saying this thing deliberately, on the licensing system. You know why I'm saying this on the licensing system? I don't want to be married to a specific system. Don't think we must be married to a specific system. But I know public service. If we say change, then people will say no, because we didn't know that, we knew that the system is changing, and that's why we have this problem 1, 2, and 3. I don't want us to talk about even a system we don't know, but we must look at improvement. If that improvement, it means merging your system with other new forms of innovation, we'll say why the 4IR, that will include fast-tracking the process, but also taking out some possible areas that can be open to manipulation of the system. That to me is the issue. Secondly, yes, I think it's important. I can't pretend that I don't know. I know sometimes when people are used to something. Now, I'm speaking with regards to Mr.
who's Mr. Makube. It's not going to be easy. Change management as well as the issue of managing change sometimes is a very complex and difficult one. We will appreciate that when you work with your staff, in as much as we may say there are certain things, we don't want them to be demoralized. From where we sit, where there is some work that is being done, I can safely say now with the assurance and the beginning of things to happen, at least for me, I see that there is a direction that you are taking. I so wish you could be consistent and you would get the blessings and also a committed staff. I can't lie, so you won't be frustrated. But I want to urge you and DG, make it a point that what you have started, difficult as it is, and don't be afraid or be shy to say, look, yes, we are doing our best, but it's not easy because we are dealing with human beings. Those are very difficult. Some of them, when they are used, even if they don't benefit, when they are used on how things are done, the next thing you will get is just a straightforward thing. Who is this one? The things who are new here is going to be tired because we've been here before. So persuade, but at the same time, be decisive. And I'm saying now, in all these things, and including this breakdown, I don't want to say in August, but surely within the 6 months time, we will look at the program. We will ask you to come back, even clarify this thing. I don't agree. Who's there? That director. DG, you know we have presented in this committee in the past. When we say bring cases here, you have presented where the department has gone to defend double granting. It has happened. There is a legal case that we even asked, how does it happen? So if we say it can't, it's not possible, please, you must find a way then to say, because of 1, 2, and 3, it is impossible to do double granting. One of the cases, even you know, if I'm not mistaken, this one, there's been even where there are 3 applicants in one area. So I'm just saying this thing, but one thing that we don't want, DG, and I agree with you 100%, we don't want to sound like we're operating the department. But when people cry and say, we've gone out, there's nothing we've not done. Now we are coming to you, assist us. There's nothing we can do. We have to make it a point that is here. So thank you very much with that. The issue of Makua, there is a scheduled meeting with them. Surely you will get an opportunity also as a department because there are complaints against you that they've made and we've forwarded what they also expect from the department. You will be given an opportunity in the very same meeting to give the department side. But good luck. We wish you all the best. It's not going to be easy, but we are here. As you have said, we take everything that is being said to the committee. That is something that you are all sincere on what you are saying, and it's something that you all speak under oath. You may not be a commission of inquiry, but we are a committee of parliament. It's not allowed that a committee of parliament be misled. Honorable members, because of time, we are even extra with 5 minutes. The meeting stands adjourned. We will meet next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.